The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning to you, and welcome back. 8 o'clock in the morning, Central Time. And, of course, more severe weather for those of you that are buying the geoengineeringwatch.org website and tuning into that. 15 more states being affected by some weird weather coming down your way. Already had, what's the death toll up to now in the 30s because of all the tornadoes? And let's see what else is going on. We have a commentary on our email blast by Brian McGlinchey. And, of course, America's latest episode of mass homicide, which is why we have that video that we're putting in there. Because all of a sudden, it's really weird that this video would come out. And basically, it was Greg Reese, who reports for InfoWars, was talking about the fact that when the shooting in Nashville occurred, all of a sudden, all of these people that are pro gun restriction, they are not, you know, they're so anti-gun, it's not even funny. They all of a sudden show up. I was here vacationing with my family, and I can't believe that this has happened here. No, they were there. How do they know this was going down? How do they know? They show up right there, and they're in the media's face, in the camera's face, the day of the event. And this is what makes people think, and this is sad when you have to say, it makes people think that there's an appearance of staging going on. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, it's just one of those things that you just kind of like scratch your head. Now, when you watch the Greg Reese video that we've included on the email blast, you'll be scratching your head a lot more. Because, you know, the trans shooter came in wearing Pumas and left wearing Vans. So you got to wonder about the Jews. It's all in the Jews, man. It's the Jews. Yeah. So Brian McGlinchey's commentary about the Second Amendment's misconstrued militia. You see, this is what they're using right now to beat up on people. It's a problem because, see, the more of these things that happen, the more they start screaming. And it says, like in the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law. Yet we just had a guy convicted of posting a meme, and he says it was a joke. And I don't know of anybody that actually tried to text their vote. I really don't. So here this guy is facing 10 years for freedom of speech violations. You see, when we start, and now a judge in New York is expected tomorrow to gag President Trump so he can't talk about stuff. Where's the First Amendment here? Don't care whether you've been charged with a crime or not. Where was the First Amendment when the person that committed a felony by leaking the indictment in the first place? You know, it's amazing how all that works, isn't it? The Fourth Amendment asserts the rights of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Well, yep, you tell that to the feds that went through Melania's lingerie drawer. Yeah. Well, we were looking for classified documents. Right. More like a panty raid. Huh. Then you have the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Notice it didn't say necessary to the security of a free nation. It says security of a free state. the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Because the militia is necessary to the security of a free state. Yet we have all these governors of all 50 states that just seem to... They don't understand what the militia is used for. The Second Amendment founders explicitly asserted that there's a right of the people to keep and bear arms for a reason. To defend themselves against morons and invading enemies. And that's one of the reasons why we haven't been invaded yet. Now they got to kill off a bunch of us using fear-mongering and jabs. I think a lot of these people that own firearms, what do you think, half? Half of them believed what the government said, went out and got jabbed. 220 million people. I mean, that's at least two-thirds of the U.S. population at 333 million. 220 is two-thirds, right? So, you know, if these people bought into the garbage that the government put out there, that's all the less people that could drop dead all of a sudden of comorbidity factors or any type of heart issues. And that's one less gun owner that's going to raise his rifle in protest and say, you're not coming in here. You're in our state. That's one less militia person the state can summon and say, look, all able-bodied citizens who have arms need to show up at these points and be prepared to defend the state. Well, now you've killed half of them with this damn jab, and that's all the less people that can be part of the militia. Being necessary to the security of a free state. You see, D.C. doesn't care whether the states are free or not. In fact, they love the blue states because they're so heavily regulated. People can't own guns. I mean, look at the New York City garage attendant facing attempted murder charges for allegedly shooting an armed robber. What happened was he, 57-year-old Musa Diarra, saw a man looking at cars early Saturday morning, believed the suspect was trying to steal things, and he confronted him. The guy pulls a gun. They wrestled. Trying to wrestle it away from the guy, and the armed robber ended up getting shot with his own gun. So what's the DA done? Turned around and charged both of them. Boy, you just can't win there, can you? Wow. Yeah. See, and he was just trying to stop a guy from stealing stuff. And this is what happens. This is just like the guy that got stabbed in the process of defending himself in that bodega in New York. And who charged him? Alvin Bragg. And then there was backlash. It's like, look, if people are not allowed to defend themselves, you know, and did they outlaw knives yet? Nope. But yet the guy in the bodega stabbed the guy to death with a knife. He didn't shoot him. He stabbed him to death, and he got stabbed himself by the guy's girlfriend. Haven't heard what happened to her. See, Bragg just... revolving door down there in Manhattan, except for Trump. Boy, we got to get Trump. Yeah, so much for all these people that murder and shoot and rob and stab and whatever. Oh, you got a bodega owner here? Let's just take him and put him in custody and we'll teach him a lesson. Send him to Rikers. Yeah. There's a problem. It's called pushback, political pushback. Already, this is the second major screw up out of Bragg's office. First one was imprisoning a bodega owner who was trying to defend himself. What's he supposed to do? Let the guy stab him to death? And then what are you going to do? Let the guy walk? This is Bragg for you. Makes no sense. Apple is warning all these people out there to keep its products away from pacemakers and other medical devices, and health experts are asking the company to do more. And it's all because of EMF. And according to a full statement by Apple, many consumer electronic devices contain magnets or components and radios that emit electromagnetic fields. That's EMF. And so now, to avoid any potential interactions with these types of medical devices, including pacemakers, keep your Apple product a safe distance away from your medical device, more than 6 inches or more than 12 inches. if wirelessly charging. Wow. Radio frequency radiation. That does exist. That's why we have Stetzer Electric out there. We'll talk about that. Did you know we have Kirkman X4000 with fenugreek, 180 count? That's a capsule. Do you know what that is for? Well, over 12,000 studies reveal wide-ranging effects of turmeric, one of the most thoroughly researched plants in existence today, with medicinal properties and components, primarily curcumin, which have been the subject of over 12,000 peer-reviewed and published biomedical studies, and we have it at the Power Mall. So you need to order yourself some curcumin, as well as resveratrol. We have that as well. All sorts of anti-inflammatory drugs for those of you that are having issues with pain. And there's another warning out there. Nitrous oxide, otherwise known as laughing gas. Permanent harm for instant euphoria is the question. Yep, you go to the dentist and he puts that little thing on your nose there to numb you up. He numbs up your gums to work on them, and then puts that nitrous oxide mask over your nose, and you're breathing that stuff in, and your head goes into la-la land. Well, the stuff is gaining popularity as a recreational drug, you know. I remember the time when I was managing a restaurant. I went back to get a case of whipped cream out because we ran out in the front. So I go into the walk-in cooler and get the whipped cream out, and I attempt to squirt some out, and it's all liquid. Liquid just runs out. And I pick up the next can. Same thing. All 12 cans, all liquid. Someone sucked the propellant out of, and that's why the dishwasher's over there laying in the corner. Because he's been in the walk-in cooler sucking up all that nitrous out of the cans, all the propellant, and he's all messed up sitting over in the corner. Well, we called his mom and said, look, Mom, he's been sniffing the stuff in the cooler, we think, and he's not going to have a job. You need to come pick him up because he can't even stand up. Yeah, the gas inactivates vitamin B12 and exposes nerves to permanent damage that may lead to incontinence, inability to get an erection, or difficulty or inability walking. People who have actually done this and exposed themselves to nitrous oxide for long term are actually now living their lives in wheelchairs. Laughing gas ain't a laughing matter. Patrice in Ohio, good morning.
So follow up from your guest from Friday, who was so impressed with the pharmaceutical industry.
Wasn't that something? You picked up on it. Same with me. I mean, it makes you think, but yeah, I picked up on it right away that he thought Big Pharma was wonderful. And I'm like, dude, seriously, are you half woke? I mean, you're on this show, so you must not be all the way woke. But yeah, it did kind of hit a nerve with me. And, you know, I have to see, this is one of the reasons we have free speech. Because, see, the more they talk, the more they reveal what side they're on, right?
Yep. Well, so it was too late to call in because I was going to just drop a bomb on him. So, yeah. You know, this medical industry, they're murderers. Plain and simple. All these doctors have gone along with this.
They have. Yeah, I can't find a doctor, saving one, my latest gastro guy. He actually took his mask off in the office because I refused to wear mine. And I just said, look, take that damn mask off so I can see your face. And he did. And he goes, look, these things don't work. I said, so you know? And he goes, yeah, I know. I said, well, this is nuts. I said, who put this rule into place? Well, you know, we're a corporation and the clinic insist, and I'm like, look, you're a doctor, for crying out loud. You have the right to say, no, I'm not doing this. Of course, then what, you're going to lose your license because you refuse to wear a mask and follow all the protocols that are murdering people? I mean, really? This is why we're having a hard time trusting modern medicine these days.
Well, and then I got another one to add to you. So,
okay,
if you're saying all these people who got jabbed are also gun owners, then they weren't going to defend anybody.
Well, you know, that's an interesting. No, I'm serious. That's a good point you make. That's a good point because, see, if they'll capitulate to that, they might even. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
They use it on us.
That's the other side.
They use it on us.
Yeah, it's the other side of the argument there, Patrice. I mean, they're going to pick up their weapon and go, what am I supposed to do now? It's an oncoming horde of the enemy. You're supposed to pull the trigger. You know, that one little moment you hesitate, you're dead. They got you.
Moron.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Moron.
No, I'm telling you, Patrice, that's the good observant there. Good call on that one. Yeah, if they got the jab, what's the likelihood they're going to pick up their gun? Yeah, you're probably right. They'll probably, you know, remember the movie Stripes when that whole band of misfits got pulled over going behind enemy lines and Sergeant Hulka jumped out of the back of the truck and says, I'm not putting up with any more of this caca. And so all of a sudden the Germans or the Czechs, whatever, the Russians surround the vehicle. And as soon as they open up the flap and all these guys are there with their guns, they all turn around and hand their guns to them. That's exactly the vision I just got when you mentioned that.
Yeah. Not the right players.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want them defending me.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
Well, have a good one.
Yeah, thank you, Patrice, for bringing that up. That's a good counterpoint. I love it. I can't even do what Dan Aykroyd did to Jane Curtin because you're right on, you know. He used to, you remember Dan Aykroyd, the first time I heard him go, Jane, you ignorant slut. I fell out of my chair in hysterics and woke up the kids, of course. They were sleeping. The first time I heard it, I thought, man, point, counterpoint. Gotta love this. I love the counterpoints. Patrice, you're right on. I mean, what guy that's gotten the jab, if he's been convinced to take the jab, what are the chances of him actually picking up a rifle and defending himself? What do you think that is? I don't know, 50-50? Maybe if he's thinking in the back of his mind, what have I done? This isn't right. All my people, all my peeps, everybody I know is dropping dead. I could be next. Oh, my God, they're murdering people. And all of a sudden, maybe that scares him into being awake. But, yeah, you might be looking at 50-50 on this one. But good counterpoint there. You see, that's why we like taking your phone calls. 844-769-2944. Federal investigators have identified flour as the source of a salmonella outbreak that caused a dozen people to fall ill over the past 4 months. Raw flour. Really? How many people have been dropping dead of the jab and they're worried about a dozen people falling ill over flour? And they haven't been able to identify any specific brand or brands of flour as being the source of the pathogen yet. Most of the patients reported eating raw dough or batter made with flour before they became sick. Well, why don't you just ask them what brand of flour they used, you morons? Jeez, unbelievable. They have yet to identify any specific brand, but they could have just asked them, what did you use? You see how all this pomp and circumstance, all this garbage psyops, they're trying to put fear in our brains, and we're just like, nope, we're not buying into this. Good morning, Chance. How are you? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yes, good morning, Dave. Dave, do you remember when a couple had a baby, they used to hand out cigars, you know, with a little picture of a stork on it that said, congratulations, it's a boy, or congratulations, it's a girl. Do you remember those days?
Well, I do, and if it was a boy, it had a blue wrapper on it. If it was a girl, it had a pink wrapper on it.
Exactly. You know what? Do you think soon they'll be handing out cigars saying, congratulations, it's a non-binary pan?
Yeah, that'll be purple.
Have a good one, Dave.
Thank you, Chance. I appreciate it. But I love when the audience brings their own material. That's a good one. Yeah, it'll be purple. wow. Man, just, you know, this is good. It's just turning. It just made my Monday there, Chance. Wow. Okay. Moving right along. Baking soda. Did you know sodium bicarbonate has been used for decades as a first line of defense against every kind of acidic health problem, including cancer? Naturally, the question remains, is there any proof that baking soda is a defense against cancer or any other chronic disease? In a booklet titled Arm & Hammer Baking Soda Medical Uses, published in 1924, Dr. Bolney S. Cheney explains his clinical successes in using sodium bicarb to treat both the common cold and flu. His comments are actually quite remarkable. Wow. So what he told during the Spanish flu in 1918 and 19 with the U.S. Public Health Service, it was brought to his attention that rarely anybody who had been thoroughly alkalinized with sodium bicarb contracted the disease. And those who did contract it, if alkalinized early, would invariably have mild attacks. So sodium bicarb has been and still is used to make urine less acidic. This helps the kidneys get rid of uric acid and used medicinally to prevent gout and kidney stones. Even athletes use it to improve endurance. Interesting. Baking soda apparently prevents cellular damage. And by maintaining a healthy pH range, makes necessary changing to the lifestyle and diet, helps protect us over the long term by increasing alkalinity. It's a natural medicine that should be treated with respect. You want to keep the pH levels in line, not too far out of the acceptable range. Amazing how that works. 23 cancer stem cell killing foods. Smarter than chemo and radiation, believe it or not. We've got a list of them on the email blast. Yep. You want to know what they are? Very quickly. Green tea, ginger, carrot, leafy greens, Chinese skullcap, turmeric, blueberry, raspberry, soy, red clover, coffee, myrrh tree, cruciferous vegetables, mint, grapefruit, tomato, feverfew, mint, cherry, lavender, black pepper, platycodone, grandiflorum, cerulea, coralillifolia, capers, onion, grapes, plums, berries, streptomyces, albus, milk thistle, thyme, basil, oregano, fish, egg yolk, beef, cod liver oil, ashwagandha. Amazing. All those different ingredients. They're 23 cancer stem cell killing foods. And of course, now there's words. Those of you who out there using Splenda, we've got a report and more reasons why Splenda isn't so splendid. Yep. Truvia is what they're recommending these days. Sucralose disrupts your gut microbiome, harms heart health, and contributes to metabolic dysfunction, so we're told. Tesla and Twitter owner Elon Musk sounded the alarm about the primacy of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency following a deal between China and Brazil to trade in their own currencies. He's warning people, you got to watch it. McDonald's, by the way, has closed its U.S. offices. Guess what's happening? They're restructuring. They're about to lay off a bunch of people. Why? Imagine driving up and all of a sudden you have some robot taking your order. Well, they got a restaurant in Fort Worth that's automated like that. So how many employees are going to be given a pink slip remains to be seen. They employ over 150,000 people. McDonald's does. Ray Kroc could be turning over in his grave, you know, and what are they feeding people? Fake meat. Got to watch these people, folks. The Treasury also is warning that Social Security fund will run out of money by 2033. Well, if Congress keeps being allowed to go in there and rape it for money every time it needs money, we're going to have a problem. Yep. And now Musk and a lot of other people are saying, hey, if we go ahead on this AI technology, everybody's going to die. We need to shut this down now. But all the researchers in science out there that think we, need to have superhuman intelligence and superhumanly smart AI. Yeah, they're thinking here outside the box that literally everybody on Earth is going to die if this happens. After the recent popularity and explosive growth of ChatGPT, and guess what? Now they're incorporating ChatGPT into the legal scene. Now, can you imagine that? Having ChatGPT writing your legal briefs, and it's coming out with all these woke commentaries, like a judge is going to buy that? So much for the rule of law, huh? Wow. And your first lab-grown burger won't contain much beef, if any. Problem of scale. Proteins like soy and pea produced on a mass scale for very low prices, but the cultivated meat industry is still relying on supply chains that exist for the pharmaceutical industry where margins are much higher. And this is why they're, well, single cultivated meatball. Somebody tried at Ivy's Farm pilot plant cost $20 to produce a meatball. 95% of that cost was driven by the animal cells. According to Rich Dillon, Ivy CEO, $20 to produce a meatball. And we want to give people fake meat. Really? Andy Looney's time again? I don't think so. Twitter's algorithm reveals government intervention tool. Oh, well, why? We're not surprised. A developer has discovered a U.S. government intervention option and other insights in Twitter's recently open-sourced recommendation algorithm. Postmillennial reports on Friday, Twitter released a portion of its recommendation algorithm on GitHub, a website where programmers can share and work together on open-source code. Yep. Concerns about possible government influence on the platform were raised when developer Stephen Tay examined the code and found a mechanism that permits the U.S. government to alter the Twitter algorithm. Oh, my, what a web we weave. How many are you going to stay on Twitter now? Knowing the government can monitor every single thing you say. Best get off. ICE is grabbing data from schools and abortion clinics, believe it or not. Agency database Wired obtained reveals widespread use of so-called 1509 summonses that experts say raises the specter of potential abuse. This is U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents using an obscure legal tool to demand data from elementary schools, news organizations, and abortion clinics in ways that some experts say may be illegal. But they're doing it. Wow. Crazy, isn't it? And, of course, remember Stetsurizer, Microsurge Meter, and Stetsurizer Filters, the way to limit EMF exposure in your home. Yep, they're one of our partners here. And in the meantime, Scott Shara is going to be joining us, at least we anticipate he will be, to talk about the lawsuit and other good stuff. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Pyre Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Pyre Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepyremall.com. That's thepyremall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
It's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fat fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And we are back at 32 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time. It is Monday, April 3rd, 2023. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us. And I'm going to rehash what happened a week ago. Saturday, on the 25th of March, Halt Hospital Homicide presented itself en masse in a very packed ballroom at the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center in San Antonio, where yours truly was the MC and host of the event. And I said some very profound things based on my research of what we know. And, of course, talked to frontline doctors and attorneys. Dr. Brian Artis was there. Tom Rentz was there. I mean, a lot of big names were there. We got to talk to Reiner Fulmick. He was on a video conference link in addition to some others in Atlanta. A bunch of attorneys were meeting there to discuss how they were going to attack this situation. But a long time ago, before any of this really became manifest, there was an issue up in St. Elizabeth's Hospital up in Wisconsin. And a girl named Grace Shara, who had Down syndrome, was basically murdered by St. Elizabeth's Hospital. And one of the things that I notice, a big similarity in Scott Shar, her dad, is on the horn with us right now. Scott, welcome to the show again.
Well, thanks a lot, Dave. Good to see you.
Yeah, this is the third time that you've been on this program, and we're getting some updates now, but I wanted to reflect on some stuff because, see, I was taking notes when we were at this convention, listening to all these victims up there, not a lot of them, basically were sitting there and they were holding papers in their hands and they're reading off papers and boo-hooing. And I'm like, come on, folks, you got to be emboldened here. You got to wipe away the tears and you got to tell me what's going on. You know, we all know that you loved your daughter, Scott. She was everything to you. And you got to watch her die on FaceTime, which that is god-awful that that would even happen. I want to reflect on 15, a list of 15 things that I learned at this event, and some of them you can chime in if it relates to your case and tell us exactly how it related to the case as I go through each one, if you don't mind.
Sounds great.
Okay, the number one thing I learned was about restraining the patient sometimes for point. In other words, your arms and your legs are tethered to the bed so you can't move while you're sedated.
Yeah, that definitely happened with Grace. What's interesting with Grace is that Grace had she had Down syndrome, so she was disabled. So that strapping down to the bed is an ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act violation, but yet we have no claim under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So this is one of those things you can't make up, and you see how corrupt Congress is. So they passed this wonderful ADA law, and you know there's a lot of fanfare when this thing went into law. But if you're in a hospital setting where they're violating your rights, you would have to know what the law is and have an attorney on standby for them to stop the behavior. And so the reason I say there's no claim is you have to be living to have a claim. So even though they did this to Grace, we have no claim. On top of that, we had a right to be in the room 100% of the time. I was taken out by an armed guard, which is a violation of the ADA. And we had to hire an attorney to get my daughter Jessica in the room. We had 46 hours without coverage.
Wow.
And see, now that's a violation of the ADA. But you would have to, again, you'd have to know that was a violation and have an attorney on standby in order to make something happen. Because after the person who's disabled is dead, your claim evaporates. And so that ADA law, of course, the good part about it is it has, you know, wheelchair access and things like that for businesses. That's fantastic. But the bad part is when you need it, it's not there, which is typical. You know, look at Dave, I'm going to just ramble here for a minute, but think through last week, Congress passes a resolution to end COVID. Well, that is about as much BS as you can possibly muster up, because they have no authority. They already gave unilateral authority to the Health and Human Services Secretary, so they can't even stop it.
No, and but yet, they just want to make themselves look good.
They want to make themselves look good.
Yeah. So this number 12 was refusing to allow family members to visit until the patient was near death. That's number 12. That's what I picked up and gleaned what you just said. Number two was sedating the patient with fentanyl, among other drugs. And this happened, let's say they used morphine in Grace's case.
But the sedation med they used was Presidex. That's the most common one used in COVID-type settings. And Presidex does three different things. First of all, Presidex has a package insert, as most drugs do. Actually, all drugs do. And the package insert says specifically to not use for more than 24 hours because it causes acute respiratory failure. Well, they used it on Grace for 4.5 days. And the first cause of death listed on Grace's death certificate is acute respiratory failure. So that's truthful. They told the truth relative to the first cause of death, but they caused it. And so you think, why would they do that to somebody? Well, they do it because they want to get the patient on a ventilator, because that's where the big money is. It's about a $300,000 payday. And in order to vent a patient, they have to be sedated. So they are hoping through their tactics that they can convince the patient or their family to put the patient on a ventilator, and the patient has to be sedated. So that's one reason they do it. The second reason they do it is they get more money. So in Grace's case, the level of service did not change, nor did the room that she was in change, yet she was classified as ICU as soon as she was put on Presidex. So the hospital received more money. And most importantly, those two things are very important, but most importantly, a sedated patient, if I would have figured out what was happening when they took me out by an armed guard and I wanted to take Grace with me, this is the most significant. They would have raised a fuss and said, you can't, that's against medical advice. So when you want to remove a patient against medical advice, then they're trying to force you to sign a document that you're taking all responsibility. The hospital is not responsible for anything. And so this this against medical advice thing is the biggest reason that they put a patient on sedation meds, so that if the family gets wise and they want to get them out, they put this bar in place that, we would have still taken Grace out, of course, because I don't care if I'm responsible or not. That's not the point. But it is, you know, you're not familiar with any of these terms when you get into a hospital setting, and they're throwing all these roadblocks up, and you don't know which way to even turn. That's one reason I'm speaking out, is I want to educate people so they know what is going on. Is you have rights. But when you go into a hospital, you have the mindset that you're essentially turning these rights over to the doctor because you foolishly believe he's following the Hippocratic Oath. And if he was, you actually could turn your rights over. But you never lost those rights. But we all have been programmed to think a hospital is a safe zone. So you go into that supposed safe zone, you turn over your rights, and you know it's a disaster. And you know, with relative to us keeping our right to stay with Grace, you know, how that even happened. You know, they used COVID as an excuse for a lot of things, and they're going to keep doing it. COVID was just the starting point to open up this entire situation. But when they recommended Grace be admitted to the hospital, I said, I'll be staying. And they immediately said, you can't. I said, well, what's the reason? They said, well, we don't allow patients in COVID rooms as part of hospital policy. And this is what 99.9% of people are up against. So then they just obey the hospital. So I stood my ground there and said, well, then I'll be taking Grace home, which I wish they would have said at that point, well, then take her home. Grace will be alive today. But they had a meeting, and 2 hours later, they came back and said, we decided you can stay. So that's how I ended up in the room.
Wow. Well, and that ended too. And see, number three is starving the patient despite family members' attempts to get the patient food. Family members have actually had to sneak food into the patient because they were starving the patient. That was number three. And I'm sure since Grace was sedated, they didn't feed her either, or they gave her an IV with fluids.
Well, I have lots of comments on that one because, you know, the morning of Grace's last day, the doctor said Grace had such a good day yesterday, we should work on nutrition. And, you know, so she's malnourished at this point because of not feeding her, which that was also inflicted by the hospital. The evening before I was kicked out, one of the reasons I was kicked out is I was objecting to the feeding situation. So it came two different times. The first time came on Grace's first full day in the hospital was October 7th of 2021. The morning of the 9th of October, Grace was hungry. I ordered food. Of course, Grace could feed herself, but not with a BiPAP mask on. So I started feeding her, and a nurse came running in and said, you can't do that. I said, what's the reason? She said, well, her oxygen saturation is only at 85%. And I had our pulse ox in the room because I wanted to measure myself, thinking I would get COVID while I was in the room, which I did. But when I measured, so then I thought, well, this can't be. So I put the pulse ox on Grace's finger and it read 95%. So I called the nurse in. I said, is my pulse ox accurate? And she said, yes, it is. And I said, so why is my meter reading at 95% when your expensive meter is reading at 85%? And she said the leads get sweaty and so it makes inaccurate readings.
Oh.
So I said, if that's a known, why don't you proactively change these leads out every 4 or 5 hours, whatever it takes, so you have an accurate reading, given this is the primary reading you're using to manage my daughter's care? And she shook her finger at me and said, you should just be thankful you caught this. So she was preventing feeding based on false information, which I personally believe, because we saw this now multiple times afterward, because we were wise to it, they have a vested interest in charting oxygen lower than what it really is, because that justifies a ventilator. Then number two, Grace's mouth would get dry because she's on a BiPAP. The nursing staff did a fantastic job coming in and moistening her mouth and that process, you know, multiple times a day. And I watched them do this. What they would do is they would remove the BiPAP and they'd put a regular cannula on Grace, but turn up the flow. And her oxygen stayed fine. So I said to the nurses, we can feed Grace. We got to feed her. And they refused. They said, the doctor won't let us feed her because she's got to either be on a BiPAP or a high-flow cannula. Well, a high-flow cannula is shooting no air oxygen up your nose at 40 miles an hour. You know, it drives you nuts. So yep. I said, it doesn't have to be. I've watched this happen, and they refused. The doctor won't allow it. I said, listen, I'm the one that is in charge of my daughter's care, not the doctor. And they refused. So, I mean, this is even when we were in the room, Dave, this is what's significant. We're in the room and you can't even, it seems like you just cannot get what needs to be done.
No. And see, the thing is total isolation of the patient. That was another thing, not even allowing cell phone use to call the family. This is one of the things, obviously, in your case, your other daughter was there when Grace passed away and was showing you all of this stuff on FaceTime. And it was like she was in her waning hours when all of this happened. So that's one of the things I learned at this event. They don't hydrate the patient, or once they give them remdesivir, they cause kidney failure, and then they pump the patient full of fluids, which fills up their entire mediastinum all the way up to their brain, and they end up drowning in their own fluids. And of course, then there's total neglect of the patient, leaving them in their own waste. Listing the patient as DNR. Now, I know that applied, and Grace was not DNR, was she?
No, she was not DNR at all. In fact, there's two comments I'll make, but we'll talk about the DNR first. So that was very interesting because we learned she was DNR during the last 7 minutes of Grace's life when Jessica called us on a FaceTime call and we screamed for the doc or for the nursing staff to save our daughter. And they hollered back from outside the room, she's DNR. And we said, she's not DNR, save our daughter. I mean, we were screaming it, of course, and they refused. The morphine package insert, so Grace, after she was given Presidex, she was also given lorazepam and morphine in a 29-minute window. And, you know, that combination would have taken you and I out, Dave. So what's interesting is the morphine package insert says that you're supposed to keep the reversal drug bedside and monitor the patient. They gave Grace morphine at 6:15. At 7:27, she died. Not one doctor or nurse stepped foot in that room from 6:15 to 7:27. And in spite of our pleas. So, you know, this DNR thing is huge. There was a nurse from our local area when I first announced this DNR. You know, I've been on the news for well over a year. And when I first started talking about it, she called the reporter. She's a neighbor of the reporter who did one of the first stories. And she said that man's lying. And about 6 weeks ago, I talked with this nurse myself. And the reason is because she called the reporter back and said, he's not lying. My dad was in a hospital in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I'm the power of attorney, and I'm a nurse, and I was looking at his chart, and the doctor put an illegal DNR on him. And so I was able to talk with this nurse about it, and I asked her, you know, now that you know that I'm not lying, will you come on the air with me and share this? Because people's lives are at risk. And she said, I'm 66. I'm a year away from retirement. I just can't do that. This is real stuff. This is why I can't get on enough programs because we don't have any help. I mean, people are seeing this, but we're not getting the help on the inside that we need. Then the second thing I would say is about remdesivir. Grace was never given remdesivir, but my wife Cindy and I did a hospital rescue in November. And this was at St. Mary's Hospital in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We were called because we have billboards up and the man's sister tracked me down. And, you know, this was a classic situation. So he's disabled. He asked if I'd come to the room and help. Well, by the time I got there, he had already, he has SMA, which is spinal muscular atrophy. He only weighs 40 pounds. He can talk fine, but he's fed through a tube. And I told her, they're going to try to kill him. Well, by the time I got there, was exactly the situation you said with remdesivir. He was already given 3 doses. Which for his body weight at 40 pounds was the equivalent of 6 doses. He was not bathed. They had him. They didn't even put a gown on him. He was literally near death. And he was bloated because they were putting too much fluids in. So, I mean, we did what's called a medical directive, which I got from the hospital hostage hotline. And the lady that's in charge of that walk me through how do you get a medical directive in place so that you stop all these behaviors. So we did it and made the hospital stop. And, you know, interestingly, even after we did that, so in the medical directives, you're stating no remdesivir, no DNR, no COVID test, no jab. They still, 45 minutes after we put that directive in place, a nurse came in to give him a flu COVID jab. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Oh, my God.
They are so hell-bent on following these protocols that kill. And, yeah, Dave, I'm pretty wound up right now.
I get it. No, I get it completely. And see, this is the reason. These 15 things that I learned, total neglect of the patient when they're in actual respiratory distress, improperly treating the patient's actual illness by administering the wrong drugs, refusing to allow family members to administer ivermectin or their own protocols. I mean, Brian Artis, that happened to his father-in-law in Dallas in a hospital there. Listing the cause of death as COVID-19 when the patient actually died of something else. And in your case, I mean, they said the very first thing was acute respiratory distress.
Well, so, the second cause of death on Grace's death certificate was COVID-19.
I knew it.
It's a complete lie. I mean,
false PCR test and all. See, this I'm learning all of this stuff and I'm going, man, this is not right. And I'm glad that HaltHospitalHomicide.com is out there now. The people that were there, I mean, these are all victims like yourself, Scott, that this is just real. And it doesn't become real to them until they're actually confronted with it. We had a friend of ours in Florida whose mother died of sepsis in the hospital because they refused to retreat a UTI. They refused to treat it. And they locked her in the COVID unit, wouldn't let her daughter in, did all these protocols, starved her. She was on the phone calling her daughter saying, get me out of here. The daughter was powerless to do anything, contacted an advocate. He couldn't do anything. I mean, people just did not have the knowledge. And see, a majority of the people that were testifying here, a lot of them were from Florida, and they blame Sarasota Memorial Hospital in Sarasota, Florida, as the primary murderer of their loved one. And I mean, this just went on all day long. We heard Sarasota Memorial did this, did that. And I mean, that's where I got a majority of my 15-point list of things that we're talking about right now. You know, but this thing about, I remember signing a DNR for my mom because she signed the first one and I signed as her power of attorney because I had a durable power of attorney with her. And I actually had to sign that with the doctor present in order for that DNR to stick. That did not happen in Grace's case.
Right. That's the way, of course, it should be.
Yeah.
This DNR thing is running rampant. And I'm going to read something from this will blow your mind. So this is from the Department of Safety and Professional Services. This is the regulatory agency in Wisconsin that regulates doctors and nurses. And that regulatory agency, in response to an investigative reporter, wrote him a letter dated December 5th of 2022, and it says Chapter 154, which is the DNR statute in Wisconsin. So Chapter 154 of the Wisconsin statutes does not apply to physicians operating in a hospital non-emergency room setting such as the one in question. So wrap your head around that. What that means is that the doctor can unilaterally put a DNR on a patient anytime he wants. That means if you're a patient in a hospital, you've got to have your laptop hooked up to Wi-Fi. You need your patient record live, that you are monitoring your own patient record 24/7, because you never know when a doctor can put a DNR on. So now we've got Grace's legal case going. And so, of course, that's one of the things that I can't give the particulars right now. You know, those are going to come out.
You're in mediation right now, so I get that.
The particulars are going to come out here because we're going to file the civil case in the next week or so, and then I can talk about all the particulars.
And we'll have you, we'll have you back on too. Bonnie in Tennessee, we've got a quick minute. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. I'm a former nurse. I've learned so much listening now, just so much, and I thought I knew so much, but I'm learning a lot. I want to specifically address the issue of bringing food or drink into your loved one in the hospital or in the nursing home. My only words are, do it. My late husband was sent from a nursing home twice for dehydration. They were dehydrating him. Bye.
Oh, God. Thanks, Bonnie. I appreciate that. God love you. Scott, I know that, you know, we're going to have you back on the show because this is something serious, because this stuff is still happening. And the more that people are getting jabbed and the more of them are coming down with acute COVID syndromes and adverse events and stuff, we want to pray right now with you, Scott, and just lift the situation up to you and thank you for delivery from all of this. The healing is just, you're a long way, I feel, but God is going to be there to deliver you and walk with every step of the way with you and your family. And I just pray in earnest with all the people out there that have been affected by this, that we heard from, that gave testimony, that God lifts you up and delivers you out of this mess and brings you the relief and salvation for Grace and deliverance for her in her memory, for all the good things that you were doing to help other people, that you can bless other people's lives. In the name of your son, Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thank you so much for being on the show. Scott, we're out of time. We're going to have you back. You're going to have to keep us posted on this because this makes a big impact on people's lives here in America. Dave Krieger with you. We will be back tomorrow with our Tuesday edition here on the Power Hour. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with the powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.